America.
Start listening now.
Please. How's it going?
Good.
Yeah.
Good times. Another week. Derek, you've been tinkering around in the marketing lab, it seems. What have you got for us this time?
Well, I know you didn't like the last one, but you know, I talked to the boys and I think I got something that you're gonna like this time. Let's give it a listen.
Okay.
What am I gonna do with all this Europop?
Listen, all you gotta do is take it to the Eurovision Song Contest. They got room for pop songs and rock songs and crappy songs. You can put all your songs in the Eurovision Song Contest.
Eh? Eh?
I think you're onto something.
Yes! Yes! We did it. Roll it.
And welcome to another vaguely offensive episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America, the country that got one thing right this week. I am Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Danny.
How are we all doing?
Good. Boy, it's here in Minnesota. It's been an interesting day.
Yep.
We'll leave it at that. We'll focus on the ESC stuff. But it's been a day. I'm glad to be hanging out with you guys even virtually. And Danny got a vaccine shot
today.
My
arm is made of iron.
And microchips. Or that's where the iron comes from, I guess. Mm-hmm.
They've installed Windows Millennium Edition.
Oh, no. It's Windows 95. At least it comes with a demo video of Weezer's Buddy Holly.
Speaking of Weezer's Buddy Holly, Sam, hit it with the socials.
Well, if you look just like Buddy Holly, and if you think I look like Mary Tyler Moore, you could let us know on our social media, 12pointsUSA, on Facebook or Twitter, or email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Depending on whatever listening medium you are using, whether it's Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever the heck the kids are using these days, if it gives you the chance to rate or review us, we would really appreciate it. It helps us find our way into other people's ear holes. And the more ear holes that we can get into, the better it is for everybody, I like to think.
You gotta tell them to leave a I don't need to keep doing that. Do leave a review, though. That's that's good.
Yep.
If you leave a good review, I won't do that voice ever again. That's my promise to you, our loyal listeners.
I'm leaving a review right now. You're welcome.
Excellent.
Another way if you want to support us on our website is to check out our Redbubble, get some really cool, really random merchandise, t-shirts, masks, hats, whatever the heck they're putting out there. It's a fun way to support the site and get some cool swag while you're at it. So, yep, our redbubble.com and scope out 12 Points USA. You could wear something on your outsides that says you keep your rhythm inside.
Yeah. Where else can you possibly do that? I don't know. Probably nowhere, hopefully. If you know someplace, let us know so we can sue their ass. Anyway, we do have some quick news we want to get to before we hop into our reviews. We do have 6 songs left in our song preview series. This is episode 6 of that series. Holy crap, you guys. We've been previewing Eurovision songs for like 10 years. 10 years. Anyway, let's see. We've got the biggest news from today was that Montaigne from Australia, not a huge surprise here, but she did announce that she will not be in Rotterdam, that her performance is going to be a video file that they will hit the play button on as opposed to pointing a camera at a stage, because they already did that part.
Yep. And, you know, that seems to be working for Australia, considering that their rates of COVID infection are low enough that, you know, they're able to go out and have something resembling normalcy. So good honor for that. I'm really sad that she's not going to be able to have the same kind of Eurovision experience as a lot of her, a lot of the other contestants. But, you know, honestly, if it comes down to her safety, and I'm sure there are budgetary concerns that if she had to quarantine for an extra 2 weeks on her way back, that's, you know, this and that. It's sad that she's not going to have that chance to hang out in Rotterdam, but this is the contingency that that the EBU is kind of planned for. So, you know, at least there's the backup and we still get the song. We still get her.
So an interesting point made, and I think this might have been during our live stream. By the way, check out our YouTube. We have a cool live stream. Yeah, marketing. Anyway, there was somebody made a point. They might have tweeted it at us or something. If this was you, let us know. I'll make sure you get credit for making this point. This is an unoriginal point that I'm making. The idea that in the event that there are a handful of these pre-recorded performances that have to go in place of the live on stage thing, right? There's the weird thought that what if, and I'm not saying that this is Montaigne specifically, right, but what if the Eurovision winning performance has already been made and we just haven't seen it yet?
That's so cool.
Interesting thought.
It's a weird thing. I mean, it almost makes you think in sort of extension of that, like the Eurovision winning song for 2022 may have already been written and recorded. It's floating out there somewhere. We just haven't heard it yet. Yeah.
It could be Colors again. Actually, it can't.
Oh, you just made me sad. But but yeah, I mean, some spark of brilliance is floating around in the ether or bouncing around somebody's cranium or sitting as a unfinished demo on somebody's laptop right now.
This makes me wonder what the longest time period has been between a song being written and a song being entered or performed at the contest.
That's a really good question. Like we've obviously mentioned Colors before, and you know, the year's journey that it took for it to get to the national final level, but I'm sure that's not a unique story.
Oh no, they probably have, every country probably has a dozen sitting in a vault somewhere.
How long was Cleopatra supposedly floating around before somebody went for it?
Oh gosh, I'm not sure. I hadn't heard about it much until last year, but it's very possible it could have been a few years beyond that, or prior to that, I should say. Past its expiration date, according to some, but I mean...
Didn't keep them from releasing it twice. Let's see. We've got a bit of fun news, video game news. Finally, there's video game news on this show.
You've been waiting for this.
A little bit, yeah. Dadi is releasing a video game. Like, that's, I guess, the story between Think About Things and 10 Years. How they learn to be the cool Power Rangers that they are in the new video for 10 Years. It looks... Just from the screenshots, it looked a bit like Celeste or a game like that. That won't mean anything to anyone except possibly Danny. Nope. Okay.
That's when you die a bunch.
Yes, it is a game where you die a bunch. That is true. Anyway, I'm excited for this. It looks pretty cool. It's such a great idea in terms of like viral marketing and getting the word out about you and about the song. And I think it's a great thing for him, not just as a Eurovision contestant, but just as an artist that seems to have captured the attention of geeky folks. That this is such a great way to tap into that even further. It's awesome.
Oh yeah. And like playing off the sort of 90s aesthetic of the music video, both in the outfits as well as that sort of Power Rangers kind of vibe. Like this just fits so beautifully with that. I love it. I'm not a gamer, but I'll play around with this.
If there are microtransactions, I swear to God, you're a non-qualifier if you do that.
Microtransactions, but only for micro machines.
Ooh. Mm.
Fair enough. I'm just saying if it costs an extra $20 to like get the sweater with his face on it, like not cool. Anyway, let's see. We've got, yesterday, so Monday of this week, as of when we're recording this, there was a Eurovision clue on Jeopardy.
Woot!
That's all. That's the news. As read by noted Eurovision alum Anderson Cooper.
You know, I haven't seen him and Valentina Minetta at the same place at the same time.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, this is no headcanon for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Absolutely.
Anderson, I can see right through you. But yeah, it was actually answered, which I'm really, really happy about. Because oftentimes, like, you'll see a Eurovision question pop up, which doesn't really happen often in Jeopardy at all. But the fact that somebody answered it, it was fabulous. It was a question basically saying, in the 2019 edition of this contest, Bar Raffaele hosted from Tel Aviv, what is Eurovision? I'm like, that's fabulous. Bit by bit, we're crossing over.
Makes a good point. What is Eurovision? I feel like someone should explain this to me. I've been doing this for like 80 shows and I have no idea.
Yeah, possibly over 75 episodes.
Yeah.
Guys, we've been doing this for over 75 episodes, y'all.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
we're going to be in syndication soon.
Ooh.
Well, seeing as how the Oscars are going to be coming up this weekend.
Yeah, there is, of course, a little bit of Oscar news. As we all know, Husovic is nominated for Best Song this year. Instead of what they normally do during the Oscars, which is basically just performing the songs throughout the course of the show, they are going to be playing all of the nominated entries in a pre-show this year. And it seems like everybody, with the exception of one song, will be performing from Los Angeles. That one exception is, of course, going to be Husavik, which will be performed from Husavik itself, from Iceland, by Molly Sandén. Supposedly, she couldn't get the appropriate visa/permission to travel to Los Angeles to perform with the rest of the nominees. So they're like, nope, just send her to Iceland instead. So, she's going to be performing Husavik in Husavik. It's the meta Husaviking. Supposedly with a local girls choir, which I think is a really very sweet touch. So, yeah, I... This might be one of the only reasons why I actually watched the Oscars pre-show this year. I don't think I've seen any of the other movies that were nominated for anything this past year. I mean, I haven't been to a theater in a year and a quarter at this point.
Most of them are on streaming now.
That's true.
All right, what else we got? We got versions of things.
Yeah, the last thing.
Yeah, in this sort of quiet season before rehearsals start up, a lot of delegations kind of take the opportunity to launch alternate versions of their songs, whether they are remixes or acoustic versions or live versions. You know, in a year where we're not going to have preview parties, it's a nice way for us to see what else people can do. So we've had an beautiful orchestral version of the Maltese entry Je me casse come out, with Destiny showing off a version of the song in a more orchestral vibe.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Oh My God from the Czech Republic now has a sort of more rock live band feel in a version that just came out this week. Belgium has an abbreviated just voice and piano version of The Wrong Place. Strangely enough, Serbia has come out with an acoustic version of Loco Loco, which is a thing I never thought I'd say.
It's down to just one loco.
Mysterious twerking.
Bulgaria's come out with an acoustic version of Growing Up is Getting Old, which is funny because I keep seeing it abbreviated as Guigo, which just...
I like it more now.
Guigo.
And in a completely different vein, we have Daddy Freire coming up in our news once again, putting out a cover of Arcade, because why the heck not?
You know, there's an acoustic version you forgot to mention here, which is the stripped down version of Mata Hari.
Oh my God, I think I just kind of pushed that out of my brain.
It's fine. It's kind of nice. Although I can't hear that song anymore without thinking about Danny replacing it with other things. The phrase Mata Hari with other things. And so I always just hear Denver Broncos.
Brownie Sunday.
Yep. It's good. Good stuff.
James Buchanan.
Margaret Thatcher. Yep.
James Buchanan was a queen like me. Anyway.
Some historians would agree with that.
Would agree with it.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah. Just like me. Anyway.
Shall we roll on to our actual reviews, the reason that we have all gathered here tonight?
Speaking of making fun of the current year's entrance.
All right. So, yes, we will be checking out Georgia, Germany, Albania, Moldova, and Ireland. But first, we will start off our show with Sweden, to say with voices.
Finally. Oh, sorry.
All right, that's the winner of Melfest. That's Tuse, Sweden's voices. All right, resident Tuse expert Eric, take it.
Okay, I would love to. I mean, I love it. I love this song. I love the performance of the song. One of my favorite things about this, and I'll get into the it's Sweden, so whatever, in a second. What I love about this is the way it looks. And I think when we did our live stream, I used the word cinematography. I don't know if that's the right word exactly, but the camera work in this, there are a couple of moments in particular that grab me really, really, really strongly. One is right after the first chorus and the A Million Voices part, where the backing singers first become visible through strobe lights. That part I think is especially cool. And then after the second chorus, when he repeats, "Can you hear them?" it gets very red. It zooms in on him. He says, "Can you hear them?" And then there's this shot from the side where there's him and then the backing singers and dancers are almost like this big shadow that he's casting behind them or something like that. It's such a gorgeous shot that is just amazing, amazing, amazing to me. So I love that. But I think the song is, while kind of straightforward in the way that a lot of the Swedish songs are, I think this is incredibly well done, as you would expect. I think it is one of the best entries they've had in years, just personally. I think it's just a triumph. Tuse is an incredible performer. His story is incredible. The message here is good, if, again, straightforward. I guess the question for me is this the song that's going to break Sweden out of the, okay, yeah, the juries love it. Is the public going to go for it? And to that, I don't really know. It's tough to say.
I don't really think so.
Yeah, I could see it going either way, because I do think it's a better song than like A Dance You Off or
What's, by the master remember. Himself, Dr. Yeah. Ingrosso?
Dancing or John... what is that song? I don't even
John
remember
Lundvik?
What it's called.
John Lundvik?
Yeah, but what's yeah. the song?
Too Late for Love.
Too Late for Love.
I could be your sun and moon. Yeah. I could be your moon and then your moon.
Yeah, whatever that was.
Yeah, that one.
Yes, that's what it's
the
all
moon
about.
Song by John Moonvik. I think it's better than that. So could it kind of break that spell and get Sweden a little bit higher than they've been in the last couple of years? Maybe. Definitely maybe.
I don't think so.
But I'd love it.
To me, this strikes me as the same type of vein as the John Lundviks and the Mamas. You know, this kind of very echoey and slickly produced Swedish uplift jam kind of feels a little bit, you know, like another really nice model off the production line. That's how it feels to me. Here's my thing. You know, I have middling opinions about this. I would listen to this song again easily, you know, given the choice of having to be subjected to a couple other songs from this contest. But my question is about, like, the problem that I have with a song like this and a lot of the other songs from Eurovision this year is a lyric like, and my problem in this song is in the rain. What does that mean and why are we singing it? A million voices, a million choices, in the rain. In the rain? Am I hearing this right, guys?
Yes.
He does sing in the rain.
He says like, fire in the rain.
Yeah, there's fire in the rain.
Yeah, just what? Like
okay. Adele caused that.
All right, great. Fire in the rain. What does that mean? Why are we singing about it?
Well, Måns Zelmerlöw sang about it in 2016, so...
Like and, it and really James does Taylor feel like that. It was yeah. just like this is a pop trope and I have inserted it into my song purely because my voice sounds nice when I'm singing these words. And yet these words don't mean anything. They don't mean anything in the context of this song. Million voices, yes. Come get out. Sure. Yeah. Even though the first couple times whenever I listen to this song, I always hear coke it out. And I'm like, million voices, come and coke it out. In general, it's moments like that and elements like that that really strike me as, you know, this is yet another installment in Sweden's long series called This Song Sounds Great, But Is It Actually?
Yeah, I mean, in that same vein, looking at the songwriting team for this one, it's Joy and Linnea Deb, Jimmy Thornfeld and Anders Rethoff.
Oh, the co-founder of the Deb stores from the mall.
Oh, yes, of course. But also the, you know, a large portion of the group that gave us Heroes from Måns Zelmerlöw and You by Robin Stjernberg, who also won Melody Festival in 2013 and are part of the team for Adrenalina this year. And just songs that are really well produced and easily consumable and fine and good, and that I keep coming back to this. It seems like it's on coast, and if you're driving your car on cruise control, it'll get you where you want to go, but you know, it's, you're not really actively driving, you're not really yeah. you know, it gets me through the 3 minutes in a way that is serviceable and it feels good and it's fine and I get there to where I want to go safely, but
yeah.
I don't remember yeah. the trip. I mean, I will say Tusey, I think, is fantastic. I like him a lot. He seems super, super well-rounded and super grounded for literally somebody who was taking his driver's test like the day after the final at Mello, who had like a science exam a couple days later. I mean, he's only like 19 years old. So I feel like his voice and his acting on stage is more mature than his age would give away. And I give him major props and I like listening to him. But the song itself, it's like, I feel like this is just, it's like a piece of grilled chicken. It's fine. It's good for you. It'll fill you up. You get your protein, but you don't remember a piece of grilled chicken.
Ah, Sweden, the grilled chicken of Europe.
I remember grilled chicken, Sam.
I mean, we brought up Benjamin Ingrosso before, but at least I thought that all of the lyrics in Benjamin Ingrosso's song at least made sense and belonged there.
Yeah, but that song was petty and vindictive.
Yeah.
Also true.
I'm having a very weird reaction to this one because it's like he has such a compelling backstory. Like he's a Congolese refugee who made the trek up to Europe. His family disappeared.
He was separated from them, yeah.
Yeah, but they're just gone, which it's such a compelling story. And I feel like he didn't have a hand in writing this, and I wish he had. I wish there was a personal touch to this song that was specific to him. Because right now I look at the lyrics and I listen to this and I'm just like, anybody could have done this. This could have come from anywhere. And I want it to mean something. I want it to connect, like Russian Woman connects. Like, there's such an authenticity there that I feel is severely lacking here. And it looks pretty, yes, but the song itself, you know, just looking at the words, it doesn't make any sense to me. It's kind of vague and it's trying to be uplifting, but it doesn't refer to specific struggles or specific people.
Well, there's a million voices. Is he supposed to list them all?
Or just one of them?
Can you hear a million voices? They are in alphabetical order.
Voice number one, Aaron A. Voice Aaron number a. Aronson. Two, Adam J.
I think Figure the Bee had
Patreon subscribers.
Know, like he could have put a little Congolese in this, you know, or something personal to kind of let us to make that personal connection with him. That's just not there. I feel like he's just saying the words. I think he's a decent enough singer. Honestly, I listening to the live version of this, he sounds a little off at times, and I don't know. I'm worried he might be a little too young for this. I think he has a lot of potential, but just listening to this again, I'm like, this doesn't sound great. I've been listening to like the Spotify like studio version, and that sounds pretty good. But live, it suddenly, ooh, wait, no, this is a bit different. Yet, I honestly have no idea how this is going to go. I bet you the juries will really like it again. I'm with Danny on that. I think it's the televote's just going to find more interesting things to vote for.
Yeah,
very possible.
I think there's more interesting things in the songs that we're going to get to tonight.
In conclusion, I am a sucker for Swedish nonsense.
We know.
Thanks.
We still love you, Eric. It's okay.
Yeah. It's kind of you to say. It's really good. Like, it
politely disagree.
Okay.
We're going to move on to something.
Yeah, cool. Yes.
We're going to move on to a song that I think is going to split the room just as much. We're moving to Georgia next. This is Tourniqui Kipiani, coming back from last year. The song this year is You.
Me?
Ocean, I wanna hear you. Mountain, I wanna feel you.
All right, so that was Tourniqui Kipiani from Georgia with You.
It sure was.
Was it?
But here's the thing. But okay. Here's the thing. Was it? Because that's half of why I'm astounded. Last year, Tourniqui Kipiani, the old Kip, he submitted a song that I hated, but I was wowed by because it seemed so confrontational and so weirdly like anti-globalist. Like, there was this weird like hate behind the song. And then in 2021, he sends us this absolute LL Bean catalog. And I listen to it and I think to myself, if my eyes were closed and you told me an entrant from last year is back, guess who it is singing this song? He would have been absolutely, without a doubt, last on my list of who would send this mindless, uplifty gospel in the second half love song. I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Would you have thought it would have been Uku?
Ah, probably. You know, if you would have told me, yeah.
Or Hurricane.
Sinit.
This song. If you had told me like this was James Newman, I would have been like, oh, fine, baby. I guess. Like, it sounds like it could have been James Newman at a stretch, but this is complete different ends of the spectrum. And also, it's mindless.
This song looks and feels like it's been sedated.
What the heck is going on?
Eric, yeah. I, after listening to this, I feel like I've been sedated.
Danny, didn't you say that we were going to be divided on this? I don't think we're divided on this.
I guess not. I thought maybe some people would be like, oh, this is a pleasant plus, perhaps. Because, you know, whatever. It's a love song. It's, you know, this. It feels like it plays in, you know, the third act twist of a rom-com. You know, when they're separated and they're both like walking through the city and it's raining and the lights are out. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is like, maybe I was the one who was wrong. You know, that's what this song sounds like. Ugh.
It feels like saying that he's been sedated. Like, I feel like he's just coming out of sedation after having been neutered.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, after knowing that Tourniquet Capiani had won, you know, it was a Georgian Idol to win the ticket to last year and therefore this year. And then, you know, having come to Georgian Idol with this really strong rock sound and the sort of, which I really, really liked. And a song in the national final a couple of years ago called You Are My Sunshine, which is also the sort of techno rock thing that was basically just him yelling, "You are my sunshine," over and over and over again for about 3 minutes. If you haven't heard it, look it up. It's crazy. And I'm like, last year, okay, I get it. It's still the rock, that sort of simmering angst. And then this, and I'm like, where is the everything? And it doesn't do anything for his voice, which is an interesting voice. It might not be Uku Suviste, but it's, you know, he has an interesting voice, but this doesn't show it off. This doesn't show off any interesting lyrics other than sounding vaguely, threateningly, overly attached to, at first, nature, and then the object of his desire, which might still be nature, but might also be a person. I'm not sure.
Wants to get with that mountain, baby.
Oh, yeah. Wants to touch that wind and that sunshine and whatever.
Say wind?
Wihin?
Wihin!
Wrong country. It's Georgia, not Armenia.
They're neighbors.
But it just, Tourniquet, buddy, are you okay? Did something happen? Are you being held against your will? Like, blink twice.
Have you been gilded?
I don't think he blinks once in this video either. Yeah, this, like, I am so puzzled as to how he landed on this. Like, Vasil from North Macedonia, I can see the trajectory. I can see how he ended up at the end of Act One of Dear Evan Hansen or whatever. Like, that part makes sense. This does not. Tourniquet is a rock singer and a pretty good one. And this isn't a rock song at all. He gets into the growly voice once. And honestly, the song is so baffling in part because he goes into that voice once when it's not really needed. It's not really called for. And yet he tries to do a little bit of that. And it just makes everything weirder. The song is so awkward. It's just really awkward. I don't get it. I don't get where he's coming from. I don't feel whatever it is he's feeling. It's just really weird. And not weird in the, like, I don't want to be a Spanish guy sort of weird. Like last year.
Yeah.
This is just weird. At least Take Me As I Am was interesting. Like, there were parts of it that I think worked. I thought it was a unique an interesting song. This is a direction that I struggle to even call interesting. I don't understand it. If I try to look at it from the perspective of, okay, I haven't heard any of his other stuff. I don't know anything about this guy. How is it just as a song? Is it any better? Not really. This doesn't work. It's rough.
This is such a strange one because I looked it up and he wrote this himself. I think he didn't have any help in writing it. And kind of looking at some of the other songs, I'm almost wondering if he just sort of threw this together. Or it came from a different place. He was trying to be experimental or doing something just wildly different and it just kind of failed. I got really curious when I looked up the lyrics and I discovered there's only 25 unique words in the whole thing.
Are you saying, like, that this was written like a Green Eggs and Ham kind of thing?
It's Green Eggs, yeah.
It seems like it, yeah. There's only 25 unique words and there's only 45 words spoken in the entire thing. It's just shockingly short and kind of stretched out. And yeah, there was so... I mean, I didn't really care for Take Me As I Am, but I admired its passion. And I remember Duncan Lawrence said at the French national final, you see a lot of songs about love, you don't see a lot of songs about anger. And I thought, yeah, that's what Eurovision needs every now and again, is like an angry song or something with a lot of like passion and drive and emotion. And this just even the first like minute of the song, he is just staring blankly into space. Stating the lyrics. He's not even really singing, it seems like. And I the first time I watched this, I thought, this is a joke. Like, this cannot be real. I clicked on the wrong link. But no. I cannot imagine this is going to do any better than last place in its semi, which is a shame.
Is it in one?
It's in two.
It's in two? Here's the thing. Anything's up for grabs. It's two.
I suppose there could be a total train wreck in there somewhere.
However, if you were telling me, you know, Danny, you will die unless this bet pans out. You need to choose one song to not make it through to the grand final. I honestly think I'd choose this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see it connecting. And maybe he delivers it on a whole other level, like in the live performance. But even then, I don't think people buy it.
Yeah,
it just doesn't work. There's so little there.
There's no call to action. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard the song maybe 3 or 4 times and I barely remember it. It just washes over me. I will say, like, something that I think it could be used for. I have a playlist that I put on whenever I have trouble falling asleep on a long flight.
Yes.
This would fit in beautifully on that. That just sort of like, I'm half asleep, I'm kind of half, I know that the jet lag is coming, but I'm going to try to get this sort of semi-deep sleep on an airplane that this kind of floats in and out of my dreams. It'll be fine for that. That is not the kind of song that I vote for in a contest. And I don't know anybody who would. I mean, Georgia, this is the nation that gave us Midnight Gold, for crap's sake. And what happened to that, Georgia?
And Biscebby.
This is the nation that gave us the bees.
Yeah, grab one of your junior winners and send them.
Oh, God, please.
Working honestly, really well for Malta.
Yeah, they probably should consider that.
Yes. What are the bees doing now? They're full on wasps now. And
oh, God.
They're hornets,
in
yellow
what
jackets.
Sense? Anyway.
I regret everything.
Speaking of regretting everything, our next song is from Germany. Oh, boy, Germany.
Yeah.
It's Jendrik with I Don't Feel Hate. Here it is. But I don't feel hate. I just feel sorry. So you can wiggle back to me, the thing it'll never wiggle back to you. Cause I don't feel hate.
Okay, that is Jedward Squidward himself. That's Jendrik from Germany. I don't feel hate.
I don't hate this song.
All right.
Not even close. Not even
once.
Close.
Once I hated this song, and I don't anymore.
It's
he just, won.
Yeah, he's burrowed under my skin like a little sliver. And I said this on the Insight podcast that I was on, you know, earlier this week/last week, depending on when you're listening to this at home. But this scratches a very similar spot for me as my beloved Cake to Bake once did, in the fact that it is pure-hearted, positive silliness. And joy and weirdness and twee for the sake of weirdness and silliness and joy and twee. And after the crummy ass year that we've all had, I am going to relish my little ukulele, crazy, happy, stupid song. And I can't not smile when I hear this, even though I know this isn't Citizen Kane. I know this isn't Voila. I know this isn't Amar Pilish Deutsch. But my cheeks hurt from grinning, and that's visceral, and that's real for me. I know there are people who think this is like nails down a freaking chalkboard for them, and I get it. I totally understand it, but I needed the joy. Anybody?
I will concur, yes.
Okay. Oh my God, Derek. I was not expecting this from you.
What, seriously?
I
actually quite like it. The first time I heard it, it got stuck in my head for quite some time. And it's something I would never listen to otherwise. And music like this I normally don't like or, you know, wouldn't choose to seek out. But I love the message it has. It's just so upbeat and positive. And it has like the video is so bright and colorful, and he's kind of bright and colorful, and the manic energy of it. I feel like it just either you buy into it and you think it's all just good fun, or it annoys the hell out of you and you want it to end as soon as possible. I have no idea where this is going to end up in the scoring. I don't think it matters. I don't think he really cares, but
surprise top 10.
It could be.
I think I'm going to say surprise top 10.
This is going to be the one that, like, people who are big onto TikTok or people who are watching with their kids,
yeah,
are going to be like into this. Like, he's been super, super active on TikTok, actually, like throughout his whole journey of his selection and getting ready for this. And like, he's been super, super active on social media in a way that I am not. And I'm showing my age, I guess. just the fact that, you know, I'm just not on TikTok, but like he's having a real blast with this in a non-normal year. He's finding the sunshine. And like, if he could figure out a way to bottle that, then I mean, that's a great side hustle after the contest is over. Cause like that positivity is infectious.
I think the message too, I know it's kind of glib and all that, but I feel like at the same time, what he's saying is so important, especially in the contest setting, the level of vitriol that people show online. I remember during the home concerts watching some of those, and the comments would be scrolling next to the people performing, and the people would be like, you suck, and this song is terrible. And I'm just like, they're playing for free, guys. I mean, what are you doing? And it's just, it's kind of a nice reminder that, you know, like you're not really benefiting from doing that. Like there's no... Yeah. There's no success or winning in being a jerk like that. Like maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I kind of feel like that's what he's the message here. And I like that.
Which is a healthy attitude for an artist to take, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let it roll off your shoulders and, you know, grow a thick skin. And
it was interesting. Robin Bengtson did an interview with Ewan already at ESC Insight back in
2016. Robbie Bengtson.
But he said something in his interview I thought was really interesting. He says, if you can't handle criticism, don't be an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of this cold matter of fact statement, but I'm like, yeah, if you go out there and you put something out there and it's personal and you're going to get criticized for it. If you can't handle that, well, I'm sorry. That's just the world.
Mm-hmm. Eric is being surprisingly and terrifyingly silent in his little corner of the Zoom chat.
So whenever it's one of us, whenever one of us is just sitting back, like Blofeld in a Bond movie, just stroking his cat. You know, I always get terrified. Eric, what is it?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I have prepared a song about my feelings about this song. And it goes like this. This song is weird and I don't like it. It's really, really catchy, but it isn't in the way that makes it good.
Yay!
I was waiting for you to pull out a ukulele.
Nope, that was it. goes over. I get it, but I don't get it. I am not the target audience for this. I'm just not. I'm old and dumb and cynical. So like, it checks none of the boxes for me. I just see like a Logan Paul or somebody like that. That's just this very.
Don't you dare.
On the surface, that is like the visceral reaction I get from it. It's just like, oh, okay. So this is a song about how he doesn't care if you hate what he's doing. And he's saying that while being super annoying. That being said, that's the initial reaction. I think there is more to this than that. It's catchy. The message really is good. I just, musically, I'm not super crazy about it. The move from like ukulele to the like electro velvet level of wackiness and then back is a bit wild. It kind of has that two songs in one problem, I guess, that I think I might like it a bit more if it was one or the other, basically. But or went from one to the other and then made that change once and didn't go back and forth between them.
I feel like that chaos kind of leads into this, though, and that sort of madcap sort of vibe of I'm all over the place, you know, human golden retriever. That going from genre to genre and arrangement to arrangement, like minimalistic dude with ukulele into big horn section, you know, it's just, you know, I'm singing a song, squirrel, and it's just back again. It's, I kind of vibe with it.
I don't know. It just, again, I know I'm not exactly the audience. I'm not a TikTok guy or whatever.
Oh, you seem to like Croatia well enough.
I have to, you know, be somewhere slightly less than Sam, but significantly better off than Eric regarding this song. I agree with Sam. This is not Citizen Kane. I'm fine with listening to this in the context of the contest. I'm fine encountering this. What I find most charming about this song is the fact that it has been left seemingly deliberately unpolished. Its lyrics are all in English, essentially. And yet its grammar is quite clunky. And then there's a part like in the breakdown right after the second chorus where there's just like this one little mention about like, if you hate the translation of this song, and I'm just like, oh, okay. So he's just really just kind of trying his best. And there's no, like, there is none of that like studio machine ready polish surrounding this song. This song does seem to be coming from a very, very genuine place. And that place just so happens to be very TikTok-y, This feels very much like a viral video I would have watched made by high schoolers in like 2008. It's nice to see the Zoomers jumping on their own variety of meme internet video-ness. That being said, outside the contest, I don't think this is a keeper.
I will say I'm very intrigued to see how they stage this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is... This could be wild. Like I do enjoy the bursts of color and things like that. Like, think what I said from the get-go is I get it and I don't get it. I get why it is appealing to people, but it is not appealing to me. And I hope they make this really fun, a really, really fun live show. And I think they will. I think Yendrick is, it's Derek, I think you're right. I don't think he cares how he finishes. He's in the final. You know, he just gets to go and do his thing for millions of people. And I'm sure he is going to make it count in whatever way he defines as making it count.
I think it's interesting that last year there was such a focus on Germany having sent or attempted to send Ben Dolish and Violent Thing, which was this super great radio friendly pop song that would have had great crossover appeal.
But Ben
didn't have a ton of individual personality.
What do you want?
I don't.
11 years old.
Basically. Yendrick doesn't have the radio friendly crossover. It might have some viral crossover I could see, but you're not going to hear this on, you know, BBC Radio 1, or like, I can't imagine this on, you know, Cities 97 or whatever.
No.
But he's got the personality over the top crazy. That's not going to be an issue with him. Like, he's super engaging.
I know you're going to hate me for saying this, but this song is very Eurovision. And on that note, I'm going to shove us into the next song before Samantha shoves me into an open power conduit. The next song that we are looking at is Albania. And someone else should have done this because I forget her name.
It's Angela. It's Angela. Her name is Angela.
I see. I'm not the only one who came with a song this week. Way to go, Danny.
What's she singing, Samantha?
Karma.
That's it. Okay, but for real this time, that's Albania's song. That's Karma by Angela Peristeri. Peristeri? Must be.
Peristeri, yes. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to start out here. This might be the first song that we've covered tonight that I actually really like. I have a solid, fine opinion of this. This is kind of... we always seem to get a song in this vein from a country near Albania, if not Albania, seemingly every year for the past couple of years. And I appreciate it every single time. I like these big, hard, throwdown, epic, orchestrated into oblivion, always sung in non-English kind of symphonic bangers. Although this isn't really like, you know, a dance bop. If Serbia wasn't going to send this kind of song, Albania was going to, undoubtedly, I feel. I really, you know, I don't love this. This isn't my, you know, I'm not putting this on Summer Mix 2021. But I like this style of song, and I think it has a home in the contest. They always give this kind of song to a diva of utter vocal command and presence. I like this. I feel like last year I was the only one who even slightly liked Poland's song, Empires, and this kind of has a similar Empires-ish feel. I really don't know what else there is to say because I can't critique these very, very non-English lyrics. It's just a style of song that I always love coming to in the yearly Eurovision buffet. I like this.
The thing that I am always fascinated to see from Albania is how they take their song that they select at the national final, the Festivali Kungus, and how they adapt it to Eurovision. Because they select a song a lot like what Italy does, that they pick a song for themselves rather than a song for the contest. And then they end up having to kind of like back adapt the song and fit it into the Eurovision mold. And oftentimes they do clunky translations that don't necessarily fit, or they do, you know, they truncate the song and they edit it in such a way that doesn't really, it loses a lot of the power. I am so happy to say that Albania actually got the edit right this year. They kept it in Albanian, which is always a risk because, you know, they are basically the only nation that participates, other than their own diaspora and, you know, the Kosovar diaspora, that understands Albanian. But even if you don't understand what Angela is saying or singing, you could tell that this is an emotionally given song. It's not just a brokenhearted love ballad. This is, you know, if you look at the lyrics, it's about a woman who has lived a life of vice and a life and has turned people away. And now she is dealing with the consequences of alienating all of her loved ones. And she's dealing with the loneliness and the heartbreak of that, which is a really, really interesting thematic side that we haven't really seen at Eurovision before.
And give me that song in English. Damn.
But we don't need to. I think it's beautiful in Albanian, as is. I love the fact that even if you can't hear this song and recognize the language as Albanian, it has a sort of Adriatic, Ionian kind of vibe to it that you can kind of tell where this is from with the instrumentation and the vocal gymnastics. I love it has a sense of place even beyond the language. And Albania has surprised us that songs that a lot of people didn't think on paper would do well have done well.
I've consistently advanced to the grand final. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I think of Mal from 2018. I think of
Mal was fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mal was great.
I think Theotokos, which is the song in Tel Aviv, which is incredible, that a lot of people didn't expect to do as well as it did. And now, you know, Jonida Malici is a goddess among, you know, certain circles, my own included. And I think this is just Albania doing something that Albania is really, really, really good at doing, being super Albanian.
Yeah. Like I said, if Serbia wasn't going to send a song like this, it's one of the Balkans is sending something like this.
Yeah.
It's surprising how well Albania has been doing as of late in Albanian.
Just doing their own thing.
Yeah, just sticking to their guns and kind of sticking to their culture. I think last year switching over to English was a huge mistake, because the song sounded so good in Albanian, and I'm glad to see that they're doing that this year. There's a lot of weird Catholic guilt in the lyrics. I looked them up.
Which is interesting for a majority Muslim nation.
Yeah, but it reads like as a lapsed Catholic, I'm looking at this like, yep, I see where you're coming from with this. But it's a weird song, because whenever I'm listening to it, it's like big and she has this huge voice, and I know she's going to sing it really well live on stage. I saw some of the Festival de Congas, and I thought she was really good. I was kind of surprised she won, but, you know, still quite good. I tend to forget this song, though. When I look back at all the songs, it takes me a second to remember, oh yeah, which one was Karma again? How'd that go? I'm not sure why. When it's on, I'm like, oh, this is great. But as soon as it's off, I'm like, I couldn't hum the melody for you if I tried.
It did take me a couple of listens at first. And the moment that the first little trill of the notes in the chorus came in, then it all came flooding back to me. Which, you know, if they do that well during a recap, that could be enough.
I feel like there's a few songs this year that are going to lean pretty heavily on the recap, just to remind everybody. There's a lot more growers this year. And I think that's going to hurt some of them, but I think a lot of people who might, during the recap, like, oh, yeah, that song, let's vote for that one. I forgot that was here.
I will say, looking at the running order, the fact that she is going in between Georgia and Portugal might play also into her favor.
Huge boost there.
That is going to help a ton, I think.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everybody will wake up from their Georgian coma.
Oh, no. My Georgian coma.
What's happening? Oh, God is angry.
Georgian coma is what we in America call the last election cycle. Anyway,
or what happens if you eat too much Waffle House?
Yeah.
Oh, like I miss Carolina Waffle House. Coma. But Eric, what are you going to say?
Oh, Ripper I've been quiet heart. Again. I prepared another song. No, I haven't.
How could you?
I don't have the pipes for this one.
What is there to hate here?
It's pretty good. I think I'm mostly in agreement with you guys. It's good. I especially like... this is not meant to take away from her voice, which is very good, and it's very, very well sung. But I think my favorite parts of the song are there are two instrumental breaks. One after the first chorus, which is basically the same as the chorus from Supergirl, which I appreciate. It's Supergirl. I like Supergirl, so that works. The second one, though, where it goes into this bit of like almost like a dubstep breakdown bass drop sort of thing. It's brief. And the thing is, I wish it wasn't brief. Honestly, I kind of wish that the song like built up to that, and that's where the song ended. Maybe put the third chorus before that, and then have it build into this crazy thing, and then just it bursts at the end. But instead, it has this cool breakdown, and then just goes back into the chorus again. And
Derek and me talking about your brain.
I don't want to spend a ton of time like disparaging the song for what it doesn't do, because I like what it does. I can't help but notice these things that would make it, I think, pop a little bit more and be a little more memorable. But it's solid. I agree. I'm really glad they kept this in Albanian.
Yeah.
It not have a big, really kind of awkward, forced thing. And I didn't mind Fall from the Sky, like the English version of that last year. But God, Shy was stupendous.
Yeah.
And they just tossed that out in favor of a song that was good, but that was it. It was good. Like, I don't get it. It's like swapping out Ben Dolich for Yendi. Anyway, the Angela here is solid. This is good. I think it probably does qualify. I'm not sure about it after that. And yeah, being between Georgia and Portugal, as much as I love Portugal, I know that it's not looking great.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. There's a lot of really cool elements to this.
I think the delegation would be proud of this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Shall we roll on to something completely different then?
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, hold on to your butts, y'all. We've got Sugar. It's Natalia Gordienko from Moldova. Come on.
Yes, that is Sugar. That's Moldova's Natalia Gordienko. Someone else take it first. I can't go first.
It's all cake. It's all cake.
You reach for your boyfriend's face is cake.
Oh God.
You piece of cake.
Dancers. Oh God, crumbs everywhere. Oh God.
Ice cream cones with legs, with gams.
Oh God. It's Willy Wonka's wet dream.
Ew.
Why did you say that?
I'm sorry. I had to ruin everybody else's life too. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I hate how much I enjoy this. And it's because it reminds me so much of another Eurovision song, Svetlana Loboda's Be My Valentine, Anti-Crisis Girl, from that would have been 2009 for Ukraine. It still has that sort of same former Soviet region, trashy, sexy, upbeat, bright and sunny, over the top, Trojan warriors dancing on robots and hell machines. And yeah, just if you haven't seen the video, do it. It's worth your time. But like the promo video for that song, which is basically three of Loboda's other promo videos kind of squished together to create a new one, because they figured, hey, most European people don't necessarily know Loboda's back catalog, so we're just going to squish together her greatest hits and create a whole new video for Be My Valentine. This reminds me a little bit of that vibe, that sort of quick cut, hyper fluffy, super sexy, awkward English, completely enjoyable, guilty pleasure, cotton candy pop. And I totally enjoy it because it reminds me so much of a song that I love so much. And if I didn't have that Loboda touchstone, I wonder if I would glom onto Sugar as much as I do. Again, much in the same way that I felt about I Don't Feel Hate, I don't go into this song expecting a masterpiece. I go into Sugar expecting Sugar. It's a candy bar. It is ice cream. It is cotton candy. But I want more. I hate the fact that it cuts off so abruptly. Like, it just ends. She just rips the guy's face off and the song ends. And I'm like, no, I could use another chorus. I could use another something. It
doesn't end right there. She hits on that high B flat or whatever it is for a solid 12 seconds.
Okay, you know what I mean.
It's but like
there's
20
no
seconds.
But there's no final chorus. It just kind of ends at the end of the bridge. It just falls off the cliff at the end of the bridge. And it just I wasn't expecting a Thelma and Louise moment at the end of that. I wanted to kind of coast into a comfortable ending there, but it just kind of ends. And I'm like, no, I just wanted one more bite of that ice cream cone, but you've taken it away from me. And now I'm even madder at Philip Kirkorov.
I'm just going to say it. I don't like this at all, at all. And I have a hard time putting my finger exactly on why. I don't have that Svetlana Loboda cornerstone. I have heard that song before. It was immediately after Fairy Tale in that final, which is kind of interesting.
This is coming from Mr. I Love Last Dance Till the End of Time, Nelson.
Yeah.
Go on.
And I've tried to separate this from the truly awful reveal party that it was a part of. And that the spite I have towards Kirkeroff and so on for how much they saluted themselves before revealing this, for setting the bar so theoretically high, right? For this song is the latest in a line of all of this greatness, and that's subjective on its own. But even when I do everything I can to separate myself from the frustration I had with that whole thing, I don't like this song at all. I think it's just dumb. I guess I'll use a cotton candy metaphor as well, except not in necessarily a good way. There's no substance. There's no, I don't know. There isn't any particular part of it that I think is done especially well. Like she's a great singer, but for the majority of this song, she's not really doing a ton of singing. The dancing is minimal. The instrumentation is uninspired. It just feels so Kirkeroff and so just, and this is coming from somebody who loves Sweden. It feels very calculated in a way that doesn't work for me either. I think it's not good and I don't like it.
It's like, I totally get that. I completely, completely get that. On paper, I should hate this. On paper, I should hate this. But somehow you squish all of these elements together and put a little bit of royal icing on top of it, and somehow it congeals into a candy golem that haunts my dreams. Help. Huh. Help.
I'll send help. That sounds terrible.
Help. Give me some sugar.
Baby.
Someone Derek, agree with me.
Derek, Danny, please. Just
please.
Someone kind of like it. I'll be the first to admit, though, it's not a good song, really.
I totally know it's not.
And all the elements that are there are just fine. But man, when it's on, it's super catchy. I remember sitting through the preview party or the reveal thing, and it just, like, they're going to do the song now, right? And she doesn't even get to perform it live at the reveal. And then they just played the video, and I was like, oh, well, this is interesting. It feels very of its region, like the Eastern Europe kind of pop music. Mm-hmm. It's very shallow. I don't mind the long note at the end. I think that's kind of interesting. I hope that they give her a better costume this time than a bikini.
Oh, God, yeah.
Which that just makes me feel sad. But I think she's a really good singer, and I think live, this might actually be really interesting. The Kirkeroff team has a really good history with staging, and I imagine this is going to look phenomenal on the night. I am fairly certain this would qualify. I think it could. I think it could barely squeak through. I think it'll, whatever they're going to do, like Do Re Dos or You're the Only One, they're going to throw a bunch of stuff at it, and it's just going to look incredible, and I think that's going to be enough to push them over the edge.
Eric, you mentioned the costuming. I think that's a big part of what bugs me about it, is that, I don't know, this seems so beneath her as an artist.
Yeah.
The costuming is ridiculous, and I don't mean just the people who are ice cream cones with legs, kind of like those. It just seems so
cheap.
Awkward.
It feels prurient.
Yes.
Like it really does feel like, and in order to sell this song, we're going to show as much skin as possible.
And yet at the same time, like with the little, like the socks and the sort of Mary Jane sandals and the little ruffles, there's a slight, this is my biggest negative with it. There's a slight almost infantilization.
Yeah.
In the costume that she has. Very, and that gives me a sort of Toddlers in Tiaras vibe for that outfit.
That is what I was struggling to get to a second ago. That is exactly how I...
And that's why it seems so just like, all right, what absolute weirdo, what 50-year-old weirdo made you dress up in this?
Kirkeroff. Yeah.
We know. Okay, so I'm gonna round out this quartet of opinions by saying that this song is a 10 out of 10 for me.
Why am I not surprised?
Oh, Danny, I love you. Never change.
I feel less bad about the Logan Paul comparison.
This song is
now
gorgeously dumb. This song is preposterously sexy. This song is first. This song is slut solidarity. This is magnificently just, I wouldn't say scuzzy or scummy because that is too negative. This is a sexy song in the way that Toxic is sexy to me. Like Britney Spears' Toxic is sexy.
Yeah.
Like it has that same sort of just like, and guess what? I'm gonna sing a pop song and it's gonna all be about sweaty sexiness. That's what it is. I really like this song. Everything that Eric said about the orchestration, about the structure, about the quality of her song, about the tone and timbre that she's singing in, I am a sucker for it. I think it's perfect for this song. The attitude of this song is quite unique in its sexiness, in a way that Loco Loco isn't sexy, in the way that, like, basically anything else that we're looking at. It's, this song is, it's a big, dumb, sexy song. 10 out of 10. All right, what's our last song?
I do appreciate that she has some agency and she's saying, no, I'm calling you and you're coming over here.
She's climbing up the walls.
But that's the thing. When I listen to this, I feel like this is a song that was given to her, that she was made to sing these things, not that she,
yes.
not that, like, and that's really unsettling to me. Like, I just, Danny, I agree that Toxic is sexy. I completely disagree that there's, that this is anything like that.
You are convinced, everyone else was just like, this is going to squeak by, but there's something about this song that is making me blind to its flaws.
Danny, have you
heard? Because I'm convinced this is going to go grand final.
Danny, have you 100%. Heard? Have you heard "Be My Valentine"? I know that you're sort
of. I haven't.
Okay, once we're done here, I will watch you watching Svetlana Loboda.
Okay.
And I will. I think it'll blow your mind.
Right. I think the lesson here is that Danny has an ice cream cone fetish. Anyway, our next song
cones?
Is...
It's a men made out of cake fetish. Insulted.
With the pearl beards.
Fair enough.
With the pearl chin strap beards. It's like, how do I want to look like an absolute douchebag in 2008, but also be like kind of, you know, he for she? And the solution is a pearl chin strap.
Can we please
the last
move
song
on
that we'll be looking at.
Okay.
Our final song is Leslie Roy from Ireland.
Oh, thank you. Ireland.
It's maps.
Take me away.
It's maps.
Maps. That's Leslie Roy. That's maps. That's Ireland.
That's our last song.
That's our last song.
We made
that's
it.
Our last song of all of our review shows, too.
All right. Well, if you can listen to... Oh.
I'm very pleased to end on this one, both for the night and for just our look at the contest in general. I don't know how well this song went over in Europe, where most of our listeners are, but you know that song Fight Song that was very popular over the past three or four years?
Rachel
oh,
Platton.
Yeah.
This is my fight song.
So like, what if Fight Song wasn't the worst song of the past 150 years? I think that's what this song is. Everything that I hate about that song, which is just like formulaic, like, you know, boosty, great. This is my anthem. This is my anthem about being myself. Everything that feels so calculated and dumb and Hollywood produced about that song is gone. Leslie Roy singing this song about finding herself and about really feeling empowered to find herself. The way she sings it, the way it has been, the way it sounds on this, on the record is magnificently genuine. I believe every single moment of this song. And in addition, and this is just something that I always like to point out about a song, is it can pass as American. That sounds so strange, but it was just like, if you would have told me this was by a huge American artist, I'd believe you. We kept saying that about her last year, the song that she sent, Story of My Life, which has similar sentiments and likewise feels like it comes from a Hollywood level pop star, a veteran of 10 or 15 or 20 years. I think this song is gorgeous. I think if this song doesn't finish in the top 10, it's because people aren't listening. It's because people are deaf. I understand why Malta and France and Switzerland are at the top betting odds right now. But if this song finishes top 3, I'm not going to be surprised. I think this song is honestly one of the best of this Eurovision and maybe even the past. I think this song is fantastic.
I think it's brilliant as well. I don't think it's going to come quite as high as you are hoping. And I would love it if it went that high. I think Ireland is due a great result. And I think this is a great song to bring it back into that upper echelon. But I feel like it's being overlooked and it breaks my heart to say that. But I love this. I think it's, Danny, like you said, it is so genuine and so real. And speaking as a woman who is approximately her age, like within a couple of years, I can identify with her. It feels very, very close to home. Of you don't have to be a teenager to still be finding your voice and finding your identity and still feeling the self-doubt of putting it out there and having to remind yourself, listen to the voice inside your head. It'll lead you where you need to go. Danny, I find it so interesting that you say that this could be an American track. And sure, there is that sort of universal sentiment to it. But to me, this screams Irish.
Yeah.
If you had said to me, okay, Sam, this is going to Eurovision. What country is this from? I would have guessed in a heartbeat that this is Ireland. That this I can is feel another that. Song.
Yes, it does. It's a kind of very certain artistic sentiment that's very different than Sweden, but is still very, it has its own trademark. It really does.
Yeah. And it's an instrumentation thing. It's a bit of a vocal thing. It's that sort of uplifting. I don't know what instruments are being used, but I could see this being played with a Bodhran, you know, the giant like flat drum.
Oh, yes.
That you see in like I could see somebody jamming out to this on a Bodhran, but I feel very engaged by this and uplifted and energized in a very, very different way than I did with Sugar. And I hate to be so literal, but Sugar is a sugar high and a sugar rush. This is a sustained, healthy, this is a Cliff Bar rather than... And my God, it just makes me want to travel back to Ireland so badly. This was filmed in the Wicklow Mountains where Derek, I know that you and I actually drove through this area and, you know, we've been there. So I'm seeing this landscape. I'm like, this feels really familiar. And I just really want to get the hell out of the house sometimes. But this just feels so, so good and comfortable, like putting on your favorite pair of running shoes and just enjoying some fresh air. This feels good.
I do have to say, I don't think that there is a song paired with a music video better than this year in Eurovision. This song really does feel like running through a cold forest to the Irish Sea. It really does.
Derek, Eric, somebody's gonna tear it apart. Derek, you're about to poop on my dreams. I could feel it.
Actually, I like this song a lot.
Oh, thank God.
I think it's great. It comes near the top of my list when I'm sorting songs out. The only thing about it, I wish it's 2 minutes, 50 seconds. And the song, to me, it hits the ground running and it keeps a brisk pace the entire time. It never feels like it slows down. I wish there was a moment where it just slowed down a little bit for contrast. I feel like when you're watching the video, it's literally her running through the woods.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she gets to the ocean and then it's just silence. And, you know, the video continues on while she just stands there and catches her breath. And I almost wish they will do that in the staging. It's like, we got these 10 seconds. She's going to stand there for those 10 seconds and catch her breath while the audience watches. And it's just going to be silent. I think that'd be kind of a striking image. I don't know what they're going to do, but it's just kind of an idea. I do like the first person camera flying through the woods a la Evil Dead.
That's what this contest needs. Yeah. Bruce Campbell.
Some Sam Raimi.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's great. I feel like it moves a little too quickly. I wish it would just slow down a little bit. Maybe not for the entire time, but like I get all these things that she's saying, but she's just going through it so quickly. At times I'm just like, wait, what's she saying? What's going on? And then it just ends. And I'm just like, okay, we're at the ocean. Eric. Close us out.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful and it deserves so much better than it's going to get.
Uh-huh.
And it breaks my heart. Like, this is in semi-1.
Oh no.
Which is brutal. Its spot in the running order isn't awful. It is right after Here I Stand.
Okay.
Which is solid. It is also right before El Diablo, but whatever.
Which at least means it's 2 ahead of Fallen Angel.
It is 2 ahead of Fallen Angel. That's true. I love it. It is also one of my favorites this year. I worry about it connecting because it is a perspective that speaks to us as, you know, as 30 somethings who have, you know, experienced this or that. I don't know. It's relatable to us, I guess, is what I'm saying. I worry that it's not going to be relatable to enough people. I feel like I said about Story of My Life that like this is an awesome, great song that is going to propel her all the way to 11th place in the semifinal.
Oh yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
I worry this is, they're very different songs, but I still kind of get that vibe. And I hate that I get that vibe. I detest that I get that vibe because this is so good. She is so good. I believe in the song. I believe in her ability to get to Saturday.
Sam, I have a question just like about Eurovision's perspective on Ireland is just like, is Europe kind of just over Ireland winning and now they'll just willfully ignore them until the end of time?
Well, I mean, they haven't won it since 96. So
I know, but when you go through the 80s to 90s, how many times did they win? Six times?
Yeah, because they won it in 70, 80, 87, 92, 93, 94.
Because they got to profit off of that native language rule like no other country.
Yeah, that definitely was a boon for them. Yeah, 70, 80, 87, 92, 93, 94, 96. Yeah.
In the sense that there's like that sentiment, is that not there?
No, I wouldn't say so anymore. I feel like Sweden has kind of taken more of that mantle. Oh, it's sure. Like, oh, them mm-hmm. again. Yeah. I think with Ireland, it's more how the mighty have fallen. That's often the mood, mm-hmm. I feel like. It's just a country that was so, so dominant and such a powerhouse for so long, and a country that has such an incredible national music scene.
Mm-hmm.
That people are kind of sad to see them not reach those heights again. Yeah. At least, you know, I am anyway. Any opportunity to go to Ireland mm-hmm. is a good one for me. Been there three times already, and I would go 1,000 times more.
And I mean, I guess if that's the issue, is this a song that's going to break people out of that feeling about Ireland? No, probably not. And that sucks because Leslie is so great. The song is great.
For me, it's all there.
I believe in the song. I believe in her, but that's me. And I worry that Europe's not quite there with it.
I will say this. Among my friends who I know on Facebook, I have a couple of friends who are actually fairly active in talking about how much they love Eurovision. They are mostly associated through the fact that they have like Nordic outreach organizations. But anyway, all three of them have this song as their number one.
Wow.
But to be fair, they are also my age.
Maybe it's just going to come down to the staging.
Might
if she has a visual presentation that really sells this and perhaps shows people what we see in it.
That's just how then, she doesn't go over like another sewery.
A more straightforward kind of bland staging.
Yeah,
right. This would lend itself well to. I mean, they have video screens. Let's see these sweeping hills and things like that. Let's see some sort of, I don't know, interpretive performance of what's being sung about that kind of makes it clear and shows how passionate she is about this song and about the story and about how gripping I think this really is. I don't want people to miss that. Mm-hmm. And I really worry that they're going to. So we'll see.
All right. I guess it's time for us to do our traditional end of show wrap up here, where we will start with everybody's least favorite. So out of, again, just as a Georgia. Memory jogger, Sweden, Georgia, Germany, Albania, Georgia. Moldova, and Ireland.
I think Danny's picking Georgia.
Huh.
Georgia.
I'm also
Derek,
picking
what's
Georgia.
He?
Yeah.
Yeah. Eric?
It's by a hair, but Georgia.
Yeah, it is.
And it's a clean sweep.
I cannot say, as much as I dislike it, that Moldova is worse than Georgia. No, it's Georgia. It's rough.
You heard it here, folks. Moldova is worse than Georgia.
Wait a minute. Okay.
We're just talking about the countries, though. We're not talking about the songs.
Yeah. What's your number one? Sam?
Out of this pack of songs, there are two that are kind of rising to the top here between Ireland and Germany. It really depends on if I want to feel guilty about it in the morning or not. It's Ireland. It's Ireland by a hair. But Eric. Yeah.
Oh, I'm Ireland too. Absolutely.
There's a part of me that wants to say Moldova just because of Eric, but I cannot take the.
I do.
I cannot take the Uku way out this week.
No, no. You. How about this? You pick Moldova, and I'll say Sweden was the worst.
Okay. No, I
hate
Ireland.
All of you.
It's Ireland. Yep.
This is also by a hair for me. I am going to say Sweden.
Okay.
But it's close.
Mm.
Between Sweden and Ireland.
Okay.
To be clear, they're just about neck and neck. I will say Sweden here. Shut up, Derek. And that's my pick.
I would very, very much like to hear our listeners in Europe get back to us about Ireland, because we all love it so much and we want to know why it's not getting so much traction over there in Europe. Let us know on social media. Post haste immediately.
Again, if you need the reminder, that's 1-2 Points USA on Facebook or Twitter, or email us directly at 12points from America@gmail.com. Again, we'd love to hear from you. Keep this conversation going so it's not just the four of us yelling at each other. We want to yell at you too.
Although that's usually good enough for us. Yeah.
That's true. That's very, very true. All right. So our next couple of episodes coming up, other than just going over some of the news that'll be kind of trickling through beforehand, but we will be talking about semifinals and our grand final, basically what our picks will be. So yeah, I guess some sort of culmination to these long ass conversations that we've been having over the last couple of weeks, bring it to some sort of a resolution. And maybe we'll try to figure out some sort of way that you at home can also maybe contribute as well, possibly. We'll figure it out. We'll keep you posted. Keep an ear on our social media. If we have something going on, we'd love you to join in. Same time next time. Same time next week, guys.
It will be the same time next time. I guarantee it.
I am rather tired and I could use some sleeps.
And so. I'm Danny.
Derek.
I think I'm Samantha. I'm not even sure anymore.
I used to be Eric, and I still am.
And America. Stop listening now.
Thank you. It's all cake. It's all cake.
It's all cake.
It's all cake.
Has been the whole time.
Oh, God. Guys, am I cake? Oh, God.
Cake the whole time. I can bring us back in.
Go for it.